Right.
And next topic has to do with our incompetent president reaching out to the Gulf allies, so the Arabian Arab Emirates, seeking help regarding the Houthis. Houthis is also another term. It's the Western terminology for it. The real name for it is called Ansarullah, which means guardians of God. That's the Arabic word for it. Except that in the Western, for us in the West, we use the term Houthis. We don't use, but if you go to the Middle East, you're going to hear the term Ansarullah, not the Houthis.
Got it. Yeah.
The reason why they use the Houthis is because in there, I think I still have, I don't know if I have a map here, whatever, but.
I have a map if you want it.
It was one specific one that I was looking for right here. But oh yeah, let me share it with you guys. Then you'll see. Share screen and Yemen map. So why I want to share this with you, right here? Can you see it?
Yeah, there it is. So, yep.
The reason I wanted to share this with you is to understand this area right here where I'm pointing out. I don't know if they can see the cursor. What is going on?
Yeah. Anyway, they can see it.
Yeah, right here. This is Saada. Saada is in the north. I was in Sana'a. I spent a lot of time. And this is where the Houthis are headquartered. And if you notice, this area here, Rub al-Khali, desert. This is a desert here.
Mm-hmm.
So here is what's fascinating. I've been in that part of the world.
Uh-huh.
And I have pictures I'm going to share here if you guys want to see it.
Yeah, please show them.
Here's a picture.
Oh,
that's the same area. What it is, just a desert and rocks.
Yeah.
This is one here.
Desert
this
as far as the eye can see.
Another one here. I'll share it with you guys. And really, it's just a desert. And they call it Arrub al-Khali, the empty quarter. That's the Arabic word
for
it.
That seems very reasonable.
Yeah, we were the only ones there. And as a matter of fact, I had a flat tire.
Uh-huh.
So how did
you get around?
We just fix it. You fix it and you move on.
The flats with what?
With a spare tire.
You just have to drive slowly in
that terrain. But usually you always carry a full tire with you. That's another one. Someone said I was lost my mind.
Yeah.
And I said, I say you only live once. Come on.
David K. says, I guess Dr. Walulu isn't afraid of heights. Yeah. Sitting like that on that ledge. I agree with you, David K.
Here's the last one here. But here is the best of them all is right here. How about this one?
Oh, my God. Look at you. Yeah.
And this is last one was when we went on a ride in the sand here.
That actually looks like.
So I just wanted to share this with you. But my point, guys, just to highlight to you in this map here is this region here, Saada. Mm-hmm. So now this is where the Houthis are. Let me stop this. This is where the Houthis are. And of course, with the attacks, they've been, because they targeted three commercials.
Yeah.
And I've seen the videos and I confirmed those. As a matter of fact, I do have an image of one of the ships right here.
Okay.
Yeah, they took over that one.
Yeah.
That's huge.
And if you see the picture of the ships that are taking them over, they're much smaller.
Now, there are some conversation about having the Somali pirates there. It's beside the point.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that...
That's not new. Those are not new.
It's not about that. It's about the fact that the U.S. couldn't retaliate.
Yeah.
That tells you something right there. And you know what it means?
Yeah.
That means we don't know the capabilities they might have.
Yeah.
Which means the missiles that they could... Because here's the reality of what I need you to understand. The reason why the Houthis are forward about this, about attacking... Israel and so forth. They don't care.
Yeah.
Because, yes, there is an Iron Dome in Israel.
Yeah.
Yes, it will provide missiles. Yeah. If the 15 missiles is gone, all it's going to take is one missile.
Yeah.
One missile to go through. And if when that missile lands in one of the settlements, guess what the problem is? Is that the settlements are not equipped to handle something like that. So what you're going to end up seeing, everybody fleeing. You already have about almost 400,000 people left Israel already. Settlements is going to become, which means what? You have to put this within the big picture of the thinking of what the Prime Minister of Israel was thinking about.
Yeah.
The expansion of settlements now is going in reverse.
Yeah.
This is why the Israelis were pushing the Gazans to go south. because the Saudis going to go to Egypt. That ain't going to happen. So the U.S. now finding itself concerned about what do we do?
Yeah.
And that's why what they wanted to do is they wanted to drag Saudi Arabia and United Arab Emirates into conflict against Houthis, which will not happen. You know why? Because Saudi Arabia and Yemen and Saudi Arabia and United Arab Emirates couldn't defeat the Houthis a few years ago. Remember, only 4 years ago, was fighting. We were the one providing intelligence to the Saudis. As a matter of fact, there's you won't be able to find the record for this because it wasn't off record altogether. Some planes in the Saudis will have to be flown by U.S.
That's interesting. That's very just
the way it is. Because we were providing that. And the moment the Houthis start launching missiles into oil refineries inside Saudi Arabia, the equation has changed. This is what the U.S. is concerned about. And he wanted to get the Saudis and the Emiratis to get involved.
Oh, no. And that's crazy. I cannot imagine. I cannot imagine them really getting involved in that.
Ridiculous. Well the Saudis and the Emiratis will be stupid of them to even entertain the idea. Why? Because they will be marginalized in the Muslim world. This is why the Saudi foreign minister lashed out at the U.S. after the vote in the U.N. Security Council, which we will talk about.
We'll talk about that next.
They're not going to do that. Saudis don't want to lose because if they got marginalized in the Muslim world, it's bad news. Especially now that you are seeing the Saudis have reestablished diplomatic ties with Iran. There's no more conflict between them in the Middle East. The whole Middle East is shifting east. There is a good relationship between the Russians and the Middle Eastern countries, between the Chinese and the Middle Eastern countries. And you're seeing where that shift is. So why will the Saudis or the Emiratis, for that matter, will agree to what the U.S. said?
No. And it's very interesting because even now the intelligence officials are saying, well, we can't determine if the U.S. warship was the target or not, right? No. So they can't officially come out and say, well, it was the target, because that would mean that there would have to be pretty direct action taken. And so they're just saying, well, we don't know. We don't know.
And they can't, because if they would have done it, they would have done it against Iran.
Right.
Because remember, it's not a secret. Right. Houthis are armed by Iran.
Yeah, that's well
Hezbollah
known.
Is armed by Iran. Hamas is armed by Iran. Islamic Jihad is armed by Iran. It's not a secret. It's been, for those who know about the Middle East, it's nothing secret about it. Where the big concern today is that we do not know what the type of missiles those entities have. Now, we shared this with you before, guys, that there are over 150,000 missiles in Hezbollah's possession. What type? Nobody knows.
And that's a lot. Yeah, that's a nobody knows. Number. Nobody.
And those are not, I checked the information, those are not a rocket, RPGs, what? No, we're talking about missiles. And that led to the question of how did these missiles get there to begin with? 150,000. This is why that's Israel couldn't go. And this is why Israel couldn't go to Lebanon. And if you only know what's going on in that part of southern Lebanon and the north of Israel, you know, the Hezbollah is targeting, destroying certain units, Israeli units. We don't hear much about
it. We're not hearing very much about
it. And we will talk about this during Rumble stuff, because that one you can detail more stuff. But I've seen the images, and the images that I saw, not from here. I saw the images through satellites.
You can
hide that kind of stuff. And those sources for that were credible. You know, usually I won't say something if I am not certain of. But they are in fact, of course, the casualty amounts still vary. There's disparity
very
between.
Different.
The last research, the last statements came out of the Ministry of Health in Gaza, suggest that so far they are about 17,000.
That's what I saw too.
Is about, but here is the thing. Why am I saying this? I'm saying this to put a comparison to why the U.S. is asking the Saudis and the Emiratis. Did you know during the war against the Houthis, 150,000 people died in Yemen? That shows you the U.S. understands they won, despite our military might. The world now sees we couldn't win in Afghanistan. We couldn't win in Iraq. what makes us think we could have go ahead and engage the Houthis.
Yeah.
And second, because Houthis understand that the missiles they have are within reach to all Israel.
Yeah.
As I said, the Iron Dome might protect, but it takes only one to get through.
Well, and we watched what happened with the Iron Dome during this attack, yes, which did fail.
It failed. Same thing happened in the Saudis when the Patriot missile systems, they failed to counter or to take down the missiles that the Houthis launched because they attacked one of the oil refineries. So, and mind you, this is what I'm saying. When the U.S. is saying, oh, we are in consultation. No, you're not in consultation. Mm-hmm. You are seeking help because you know you can't do it alone.
Right.
And that's, to me personally, it highlights literally how fragmented our foreign policy is.
Yeah.
We don't have any because now we are isolated.
Absolutely. And I think maybe that's the biggest point right now is what allies does the U.S. really have in the Middle East other than Israel? So right now we have Israel, but look at the deteriorating relationship between the Saudis and the United States.
Yeah.
I remember, I guess it was maybe a year ago or so where Biden
went to Saudi Arabia
to ask
for oil.
And they said, no, they wouldn't answer his call. And they told him flat out, no, that to me is a deteriorating relationship, whether they're willing to say that it is or not. If you won't take the call of the president of the United States, that's a deteriorating relationship.
And that tells you right there that the U.S. credibility no more. Let me say thank you here to Maner saying thank you so much for your super sticker. First time I see this name here.
Oh, yeah.
So good to have you here in our community. We are very excited to have you here. So thank you so much. So the idea of the U.S. asking for this is because those countries now, they're going to be asking themselves, haven't we learned from what happened in Iraq? Haven't we learned what happened in Afghanistan? Yeah. What makes us think that? And second, even if they don't ask themselves that question, the key that's going to be is the idea of if they ever side with the U.S., they will be marginalized in the entire Muslim world.
Yeah.
It's already, and I'm one of those that argue that already most of the Arab countries are doing just talks.
Yeah.
There is no action.
Yeah.
When it comes down to talks and photo ops, they're great at that.
Mm-hmm.
But in action, you'll find out they couldn't move an inch.
Well, in action, they seem to be looking out for whatever the best interest is, at least of the people who are ruling, right? At least of the people.
It's the survival of the
in charge.
It's the survival of the regime. Yeah. That's what it's always
been about.
Survival
of the regime. That's a great.
And
way to
that led to a question: could the U.S. sort of have leverage over the survival of both monarchies?
Maybe.
Yes and no, but at this stage, especially when it comes down to the U.S.-Saudi relations, they moved in a different direction altogether. To me, the signs, I've been seeing them for a while. That's why I wrote a book about Saudi Arabia, because of that. I've seen the signs that this relationship is coming to an end.
Yeah.
And usually when you have for the U.S., because we only depended on one specific aspect that maintained our dominance there. And you know what it is? Can anybody tell me? That's a question for
that's
you.
Great. Yeah.
Here's a question. What helped the U.S. maintain its dominance in the Middle East? Mm-hmm. So if you can type in the chat box, I'd like to read your feedback. That. And I'm not going to answer it now. I'll answer it as we move forward. So the idea becomes now. The thinking, you got one country that is siding with Israel in the Gulf states.
Yeah.
Does anybody know which country is that? I'm putting everybody on the spot. Now, I like to have their contributions to the conversations. You guys are smart enough now to know how things are. You've been with us for a long time now. You know how. So.
All right. We got a bunch of right answers. Go check in here.
Let me see. A Saudi product. Okay. Saudi.
Scroll up a little bit.
Which one? Yeah, Saudi. What was the question?
what solidified the U.S.?
Oh, yeah. What led to the U.S. dominance? Saudi bargain Qatar, 2 degree. Petrodollar, 2 degree. Jordan, Saudi Arabia, 2 degree. Yeah, you're right, David K. But there's one particular issue that doesn't exist anymore. Mm. That issue doesn't exist anymore, which means it ended. the U.S. influence in the Middle East. So, you know, military to a degree. What was the question again? The question is, what was helping the U.S. influence in the Middle East? There was one particular issue. That issue doesn't exist anymore. And with it comes the end of the U.S. influence in the Middle East. Iran. You guys got in. Oh, he got it. He got it. You got it. Oh, not Bahrain.
Nope, not that one either. Go up further.
Right there.
Yeah, there it is.
No, why is it
Do you want me to do it?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay.
You're absolutely correct.
Oh my God, I can't grab it. Yeah. Here it is. All right. Is it that?
You're absolutely correct.
Yep.
China was able to broker that deal. And yep. Why am I saying this? It's because you have to go all the way back from the establishment of the Saudi sovereignty in 1932, but also you have to go right after 1979. What happened in 1979 in Iran? And from that point forward, we were able to manage that wedge between Saudi Arabia and Iran. Mm-hmm. And we came to realize if we maintain the level of tensions between the two, we'll maintain our dominance in the Middle East.
Yep.
Now that issue is not there anymore. It's gone.
Yeah.
It's gone. This is why you're seeing the war in Yemen ended. And this is why you're seeing Yemen Houthis are taking forward step. You're seeing Hezbollah taking a forward step. But the U.S. or Israel couldn't attack them. They won't be able to.
Yeah.
Because they are concerned about what the reaction is going to be, what type of weapons. Because we don't know. Till today,
yeah.
We do not know what type of missiles Iran has. And Iran has developed the hypersonic, by the way, with the support of both China and Russia.
Yeah. Well, and, you know, I think looking at it from a human behavior perspective, you know, this is a very interesting example of the fact that the U.S. is concerned about its own dominance now, period. Because if we did feel confident, if the United States did feel confident in this situation that they would actually be backed up, they would say, well, here's the attack on the USS Kearney.
Yeah.
And they didn't. So I think it's very important to pay attention to more or less the chess moves of this.
Of course.
So they're going and asking for help. And I suspect the CIA probably does know what the weapons capabilities are. And that almost is a worse admission of knowing what they are and not being able to combat them, knowing that they can't either win or that the cost of that would be too much. So that's almost a worse admission to
Yeah, King. But at the same time, Iran is no Iraq.
Yeah, For sure.
Thank you. Thank you so much for your super sticker. Thank you. It's been a supporter, avid supporter of both channels, by the way.
Somebody up here said that means friend. In Chinese.
Thank you for sharing that. I didn't know.
I didn't know
you know why I wanted to learn Chinese back then when the Pentagon called me.
Right.
It was my mistake. I don't blame anybody else. It was my mistake. I didn't persist on that.
Yeah.
So anyway, let's move on to our next. Let me just conclude this one here. Just want you to understand the reason why we are in so-called consultation with allies is not about consultation. Is we are seeking their help because they... Both Saudi Arabia and United Arab Emirates had first experience with dealing with the Houthis. Mm-hmm. And Houthis, by the way, are fierce fighters. Mm-hmm. They are fierce fighters. So I don't think so they're going to move forward with that. Remember, there's still agreements between the U.S. and those countries as far as security. But in this issue here, it's going to be different because they see the consequences will backfire.